national battle. The difference between down 0-3 and holding form with game four this weekend is razor thin, blaze thin. Kachuk and Verhage, and we have a series. Also, Heat and Nuggets and court burn at game four. And Bryce Young named QB1 already. Let's go. So we have QB1 and we have the Panthers. QB1, the Panthers. Anyone? Friday Night Lights?
All I hear is hockey number one.
This is a Friday Night Lights show.
I remember
this
that.
This is a Buddy Garrity show, please.
Explosions in the sky.
Thank you. Hockey fans are like, this is crazy. How do the Panthers live like this? The Panthers and Panther fans are like, what are you talking about? This is the only way we know how to live. For the game, they had 23 shots. They had nothing on the penalty. But when it mattered most, Kachuk with 2 minutes to go and Verhage in overtime. Emily Kaplan, you're covering this series, of course, for ESPN on what the Panthers showed you last night and what it means for this series.
Well, even though hockey is the ultimate team sport, you need your best players to be your best players. Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie, is pulled in game two after allowing 8 goals in 4.5 periods. And then lo and behold, we're all wondering, okay, are they making a goalie switch? Paul Maurice's coach laughs at us. He makes fun of the media, saying, you guys are inventing storylines because there's too much time on the off days. And he was right. Bob was fantastic. Then you have Matthew Kachuk. He has 36 penalty minutes in the first two games, but one goal. That is his ninth most all-time in Stanley Cup final history, despite just playing two games.
Right.
The team itself was just a little undisciplined, getting involved in all these things after the whistle. His coach says they're too physical. They pulled that back. Even though the refs were very whistle-happy in this game, they showed discipline and got into it. So we have a series now. That said, I think Vegas was still the better team for large parts of this. They're still the more disciplined team, still the deeper team. So I still like them, but we have a series.
Okay, and I appreciate that. But to drill down even further on last night, how did Florida turn it around when it was really, once again, back against the wall? It was 57 minutes. We're 2 minutes away from down 0-3 and looking for a sweep.
For me?
Yes, please.
Well, the way they do it is because they're clutch. They don't give up ever again. Like, the swagger of Matthew Kachuk is exactly what this team adopts. It's exactly what hockey needs. We need a superstar like this. And so even though Vegas is holding on to the lead and in the third period doesn't pull back, is playing really strong defensively, this is a team that's the cardiac kids, and it's exciting and it's fun to watch.
You believe that. I'll turn to Courtney Cronin on how you believe one little comeback here and what it means, how the Panthers won. Is it a sign of life for them?
It is, and I think it was Matthew Kachuk who said that they had to win this game, otherwise it was over. He wasn't giving them any sort of false hope, had they not. And he exited the first period with what we thought was a head injury. He comes back, he scores that goal. His dad's watching on, drinking a glass of red wine. Love to see it. But the Panthers in overtime and Carter Verhage are basically the shaking hands emoji, because the two just go hand in hand. The Panthers now 7-0 in overtime this year, and Carter Verhage 4 career postseason goals, the most in Panthers history. They like to get these things done late, and they did it last night.
7-0 this postseason, of course, are the Panthers in overtime. So I'll ask you, Pablo Torre, that one win, is it a sign of life for this cardiac Cats team?
Tony, it felt like an escape. I don't want to be the guy who is pressure testing cliches at every turn here.
But you really do that, don't you?
This is a bunch of cliches. But it is. I'm hearing clutch. I'm hearing cardiac kids. I'm hearing all of the stuff you say when the quantitative explanation is unsatisfactory and you get to something deeper in this team. And yes, in the clutch, they are amazing. But it also felt like desperation. It felt like a survivalist instinct that kicked in, because all the things that were going wrong, I don't think we feel better about those things, because it felt anomalous. But again, anomalies are what took them, you know, ahead of the Boston Bruins after being down 3-1. So I've seen it before. I just still don't quite know how to process it rationally.
And Justin Tinsley, that comeback, that win, sign of life here for Florida?
Absolutely. I say this so much on this show. It's my Captain Obvious statement, but I'm going to say it again. 3-0 is way different than 2-1. And we were 133 seconds away from seriously planning a parade in Las Vegas. And the main reason it's a series again, and to Vegas's credit, they're great at this too, but Carolina, they are amazing in the most pressure-packed moments. To Chuck, seven of his 11 goals have come within the third third period or later in a game. They're 10-1 in one-goal games. And if you go to overtime with this team, you might as well save your skaters and cancel Christmas and just get ready for the next game. So, look, respect. All respect due to Las Vegas. But Florida is just as capable of winning this series. And all prayers go to Emily Kaplan, who now has to split her time between Las Vegas and Miami. What a hard life to live.
Emily, I'll go back to you after the horn.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason that Pablo is having a hard time articulating this is because hockey is a sport predicated on randomness. It's why I love it. But I would say this. I wasn't going to flex on you guys too hard, but I had the privilege of watching the game from the press box with Mark Messier. You might have heard him, Hall of Famer. And the one thing that he kept pointing out was how much Vegas was taking away the middle of the ice from Florida all game. Again, like, Florida kept themselves in it, but Vegas was just the better team. There's this quiet confidence about them. They let Dallas come back in the series, too, and they figure out ways to close it out.
Florida's second line, how they controlled the faceoffs and how they controlled the puck and how they got the play from Stone again. I mean, I hear where you're going here for game four. You like Vegas in game four, Emily Kaplan?
I do. I just like Vegas in the series in general. And look, I mean, even if Florida can win game four, I just think that Vegas is a more structured team and the more complete team. Mm-hmm.
But you do appreciate games of random scoring, don't you? Whoa, what's happening
here? Well, that's why
here?
I cover the summer.
Whoa, no one knows.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, we'll move on. Game four, Heat Nuggets. I don't need to say any more. Okay, maybe just one thing. Tyler Hero not cleared to play still. Ruled out again. And okay, maybe just one more thing. Jamal Murray, did you see the court burn on his head? I mean, what are we talking about here? How is it? I know it's not a shooting hand, but you still need two hands. Tonight, from Miami's perspective, episode four, Pablo, how does the culture strike back?
So I'm still reeling from being out name dropped by Emily Kaplan. I thought I was going to be the one to do that as the elder statesman on today's show.
And I supported you.
When I watch these games, Tony, I marvel at, again, yes, cliches becoming reality. And so for the Miami Heat, the actual quantitative explanation here is that you got to hit your open threes. In the games they've lost, they've shot under 40% on wide open threes. In the game that they won, yes, they're over 50%, close to 60. So just do that to begin with. But then when it comes to, like, okay, we're going to turn this guy into a passer and this guy into a scorer, just don't turn the other two best players into a passer and a scorer and a rebounder. Just figure out a way to not get killed to combine almost 70 points by Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. So can you play a little defense, live up to your cliches? Can you hit open shots, living up to the cliche of, you know, being a make-or-miss league? If you do that, you can steal a game.
Justin Tinsley, from Miami's perspective, to get right and even the series.
It's a lot of things. They have to be a better rebounding team. They have to be better in the paint. But honestly, put all the X's and O's aside for a second. This has to be the Jimmy Butler game. He hasn't had a 30-point game since game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And for the series, for the finals, for the entire finals, he's 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He probably needs to be 10 of 11 from the free throw line in the first half tonight. So the better Jimmy plays, the better everybody else around him plays. And they need to make some open shots. They were 4 of 15 from Jimmy Butler passes in game three. This is a must win for them tonight. I know the series is 2-1, but if they go down 3-1, the next Miami Heat home game may be in the fall.
I don't see
Denver losing game five.
10 of 11 free throws in the first half. Wait a second. Is that Scott Foster's music I hear in Miami? Yes, it is.
That is Scott Foster's music you hear.
Emily Kaplan, from Miami's perspective, things they need to do tonight. That's the number one thing.
Okay, well, allow me to flex one more time. As the only panelist here in Miami, I can say with confidence that the Heat team are all about work, so they're always going to have a fighter's chance. Truth is, Denver's just a better basketball team. Something Pat Riley always says is, no rebounds, no rings. You cannot win when you're out-rebounded by minus 25 differential, as Justin said. The thing about Miami is that they're a really scrappy team, but it's hard to scrap and claw your way back when your star player, Jimmy Butler, is nursing an injury, and you do have a team that you're playing against that's more physical and talented than you. So the only way I see Miami winning this is if they hit a barrage of threes, but their three-point shooting percentage in the last game gives me zero confidence in that area.
Gordy Cronin.
You need more from Jimmy than just Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, but frankly, I don't know if they're going to be able to get that. The thing is, Jimmy Butler is getting downhill. It's just that the Nuggets are taking away his effectiveness as a passer. In game two, you saw there were 11 drives when he was passing. 4 assists came out of those in 10 points. In game three, there was none of that. Eight drives when he was passing, and all of those turned absolutely into nothing. So to be able to find a way to work around that, if the Nuggets do end up keying in on him again, will be the key for Miami staying alive here. They are missing Tyler Herro, though, because they do not have the consistency from where they're trying to find some explosion offensively in Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent.
Mm-hmm. Pablo Torre, back in.
Yeah, it's just the Jamal Murray question to me, Tony. Like, he was a subplot until the last game, and then you realize, what happens if that guy is just that guy? What happens if they have a guy who can drop you, 30 points on your head? Like, I don't think Jimmy and Bam are talented enough to keep up with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. That's just that's a talent gap, and you got to out-scrap, out-cliche them, and I don't think you can do that.
Okay. You're really walking into banned phrases left and right today, Pablo. Make a pick for tonight, Justin Tinsley.
Miami.
Emily Kaplan.
Nuggets. Home court advantage means nothing. Miami's lost three straight at home.
Courtney Cronin.
I've got Miami tonight.
Pablo Torre.
Denver.
All right, please. Flip from the panel, taking a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side. Did you just say another banned word? What are you trying to do today, Pablo? Friday afternoon, you getting your early out? Is that what it is?
He's point shaving.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
History will be on the line this weekend in France. Novak Djokovic today in four sets over Carlos Alcaraz. Alcaraz did hit this amazing shot before he cramped and walked off 6-1, 6-1 in the final two. It was over. Djokovic now on the precipice of number 23, which will break the tie with Nadal, put him number one all time for men. Pablo, I'll open up the whole menu for you here. Buy or sell today's result. Buy or sell the cramping of it all. Buy or sell what's at stake for Djokovic here.
Yeah, Tony, I'm selling the game that Alcaraz got docked because of the cramps. The guy was competing in 85-degree weather, and his hand cramped up, his leg cramped up, and it turns out that in tennis, none of that qualifies as a medical concern. And so he was penalized for being, I guess, both honest about what was happening to him and also for being the imperfect meat sack that is the human body. Not his fault. That should be a thing that you can claim and get actual understanding from the officials for.
The ruling here that he lost the game like that.
Yes.
Also, we had the cramps and how it affected what everyone was ready for to be an amazing match here. So, looking forward, Pablo, buy or sell Djokovic in this run here for 23.
Oh, man. I mean, the guy is machine-like, Tony. There are many reasons to not like the guy, but his greatness truly is now unambiguous. So, yeah, he is at the very top, arguably, at the very least on the...
Well, don't look at me arguably. Make a stand here. Buy or sell him being number one all-time if he gets to number one all-time in the men's Grand Slam singles.
A begrudging number one all-time. Yes, I will buy that. Begrudging.
You don't need to begrudge us. Justin Tinsley, how about you?
I'm buying it all-time. His seventh Grand Slam in the last eight tournaments with six titles. He hasn't lost to a player under the age of 21 since Nadal in 07 when he was 20. And if he wins on Sunday, he'll be the first man with three titles in all four majors. That's a GOAT resume if you ask me.
A amazing piece of information you gave there, because this was the master and a pupil in some way, or at least the older generation and younger. He had never, Alcaraz 20, you'd think that would be an advantage, but he was the one cramping up. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
I just love that Pablo is the elder statesman here and acting like he's never been on the show before. What I'm buying is that Joker's on top right now, but we're going to look back on this as the big three era. Yeah, begrudgingly. Here, you know what the narrative is? I'll help you out here. Uh-oh. The narrative is that this is the big three era. But what I'm also buying is that there's a new era, and you can see the respect that Djokovic had for this kid. Like, when he hit that shot, all Djokovic could do was laugh. And when he cramped up, Djokovic came over to check if he was okay, and I thought that was a really cool sign of respect.
Cordy Crowden, this weekend, if he gets to 23, is Djokovic number one all time?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can argue that, but it doesn't mean that Carlos Alcaraz, when he figures out this cramping issue, won't be clipping at his heels. I'm buying what Nick Kyrgios tweeted, that once he can sort out whether it's nervous energy, like Pablo mentioned, whether he's, you know, playing in 85-degree weather, when he gets that issue sorted out, everyone should be scared, because that shot alone that Emily just referenced, for him to have the ability to get to the back of the court, flip his body around, defy physics, and then answer with that shot, that's incredible stuff.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Carolina Panthers naming Bryce Young QB1. Frank Reich making the call before the preseason, before training camp. Courtney, debate. Is a June announcement too soon or just the right time for Bryce Young?
It's the right time if you're sticking to your timeline, and this is the exact timeline that general manager Scott Fitter and head coach Frank Reich imagined after trading the number one pick, which meant they were going to go get trading for the number one pick to go get Bryce Young. It's a good sign for the Carolina Panthers that they are sticking to their timeline, because it means everything is going according to plan. Bryce Young is the guy that you thought he was, and they're not messing around with this and overcomplicating and trying to throw some, oh, he's got to earn it. No, you got him with the number one overall pick. He is your starter this season.
Emily Kaplan.
I'm buying that we don't have to go through the whole song or dance, will they or won't they? But what I'm selling is that what we've seen time again in the NFL is first-round quarterbacks, when rushed into action, often struggle with the pressure and expectations. The reason the Panthers drafted number one is because they're a bad football team, so I'm not sure he's even still set up for success.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying, and I love the fact that his teammates are all singing the praises of him. He has a really good relationship with Andy Dalton, his backup quarterback, which I think is a huge key in all this. They've got a great coaching staff around him, a veteran offensive line. They're putting the pieces around him to succeed. So, if you're a Panthers fan, you should be excited.
Pablo Torre.
I buy this because this is a decision made because of us people in the media. They don't want us arguing about the question, should he start or not? They got it out of the way immediately to handicap future B-blocks on Around the Horn. That is the veteran segment.
Buy or sell three, Oklahoma three-peat, the dynasty and the domination. So, Emily, here's the debate. This Oklahoma team, the most dominant team in sports right now, buy or sell?
Buying, absolutely. I mean, think about the other standard. Like, Travis Kelce is saying, oh, I hope that Patrick Mahomes can win as many rings as Steph Curry. Steph only won 3 in 5 years at their peak. It feels like we can only have one really dominant team at a time, whether it's UConn, the U.S. women's soccer team, Alabama, or Georgia. But this team is outscoring teams 1,500 runs in this run. Like, it's insane what they're doing.
They're outscoring teams how many runs in this three championship run?
As many points as you're about to give me, 1500.
Good line, but you're not getting that. That would be the record. Justin Tinsley, how about you?
In the last three seasons, I'm looking at my notes, Oklahoma is 176-8 with three titles. They're batting as a team 381 with 9 runs a game, 433 home runs with a team ERA of 1.3. Okay. This isn't dominance. This is a dictatorship.
All right. So since when then? Since I'm sensing everyone.
Since the last three seasons.
I mean, Georgia football's won 2 straight, but this is 3 straight. Mm-hmm. They've won 53 straight. Since UConn basketball, since UCLA basketball, since Oklahoma football, going back whatever. Bob LaTorre?
Yeah, I'll stay local to me. Like, why aren't they just the 27 Yankees at this point, Tony? They are as good, as dominant as we have seen in any sport like this one. They have the best pitching staff, the best offense, the best defense, and they are, by the way, something really cool in women's sports we should embrace more. They're just villains at this point. They are too good. They must be stopped, and no one can. It's okay to root against them. They've earned that right, too.
Cordy Crowden.
No team in Division I softball history has won three in a row since, like, the 1990s. It's been 30 years. So very clearly, in the softball realm, they are head and shoulders above everybody else. I think Justin said this earlier. I'm going to copy him on this. Oklahoma, a softball school, no longer a football school.
Tinsley had the line first, but you didn't use it, Justin. You didn't use it. I'll give Courtney a little credit. But North Carolina soccer. I mean, we're in such a rarefied air here when you're talking about the winning streaks and the championships back to back to back. All right. Thank you for your time today, Courtney Cronin. And Pablo, you also were on today's show. Emily Kaplan, Justin Tinsley, showdown in 2 minutes.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Emily Kaplan, Justin Tinsley, good luck in showdown. It is June 9th. No one can dispute that. However, is it late enough for you to say Atlanta just buried the Mets? What a raucous series sweep. Just soul-snatching comebacks and blown leads from New York. A bottom ninth missile, the 10th inning walk-off last night. Look at the reaction. Emily, was this series more about where Atlanta's going or where the Mets are going?
It's about the Mets. In a week that New York thought it was experiencing the apocalypse, they get the typical hellscape, which is the Jets spiraling out of control in the summer. And guess what? Up next, they get the Pirates, who are, like, suddenly competent.
Yeah, this is definitely about Atlanta. Anytime you beat a division rival three straight games, you come back down three, that's big. But I exercise caution. Energy does not like cockiness, man. So don't get too happy if you're Atlanta.
But this new Atlanta team is embracing their cockiness. Do you know what they're having? They're having a Ronald Acuña Jr. chain night. That's what they're having. They're getting cocky.
That's great.
Point then.
Waggy.
To Emily Kaplan. Showdown 2, a visual daily double. Fitman summer, we'll call it. Look at Luka here. Looking thin, right? And you saw Ben Simmons this week as well, looking jacked. It's June 9th. I don't think anyone can dispute that, Justin. But does summer fitness have you believing a change for good?
Look, I've got my third eye open here. A skinny Luka. I know Kyrie is going to text LeBron with the caption that says, "Hey, big head, come on."
Yeah. Emily?
Yeah. This is a three-pointer that I'm expecting from Ben Simmons. You start the season, random injury, and oh, wait, look, he looks incredible in a workout video or photo.
You can't knock a guy for getting fit over the summer, Emily Kaplan.
But you can, because it happens every summer.
We'll give Justin Tinsley the FaceTime.
June is Black Music Month, and in D.C., the scene is on fire. If you haven't already, watch the NPR Tiny Desk from Charlie Wilson and Babyface. On Sunday, the R&B Club is paying homage to Prince. And on Tuesday, Juvenile will be performing for the 25th anniversary of his debut album, 400 Degrees, here in D.C.
And you'll be there, I bet, right?
I'm going to try my hardest.
That's it for today. Tony and Mike next. We're on a 71.5-hour break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.